Okay. Another surging deeper and more broadly into Parakira, I just want to open up for a moment just with a sketch of the just how the Parak is laid out, especially since this week already we were in three different places in the Parak, so just have a sense of perspective. And then we'll head straight into this week's topic, Kliushin, Kliushin, and everything in between. The Parak runs. The Parak runs across two topics. The first half of the Parak is about Bishul and related, and the second half of the Parak, from Mem Beis and on, is about Muktzah, utterly unrelated, totally separate. Happens to be the second half of the Parak here. The first Parak, within the first half of the Parak through Daf Mem Beis, just to sort of list off, it sort of switches on and off between. Alternates between topics that are directly relevant to Bishul and those that are not. The beginning of the Parak up until the Mishnah Lamches, that we picked up a couple weeks ago, the beginning of the Parak is all about the Dinim Drabanan, veneration and Gimel, and there, we're going to get back to that, Shehi and Achazara, all the Dinim Drabanan, putting things on top of a fire, or leaving it on the fire, put it on the fire, even without Melechas Bishul. Davim Bishul called Sarkov, all the rules of Blech, and so on and so forth, Shehi Achazara, that's the beginning of the Parak through Lamches. Then we saw, the Mishnah Lam Ches and Beis, the Gemara Lam Ches and Rav, that was already, that was the Sugya of Bishul B'chama, and we came back to it this week also, we're going to get back to that Tosis very soon. Lam Ches to Mem moves away from Bishul, Lam Ches and Beis to Mem Beis is Rechitza B'Shabbos, Rechitza B'Shabbos, Rechitza Yantiv, Gezeres Rabbana, not our topic. We picked up back Mem Amud Beis, comes back to Bishul, that's the second Bishul zone. The first Bishul zone would be Mishnah Lam Ches, more on the test and off. The second Bishul zone is Mem Amud Beis. We had a chance to peek at a Tosis there, which was relevant to Klisheni. We're going to come back in 2 weeks, Emir Tzashem, to Daf Mem Amud Beis. Most of Mem Alef Amud Alef is a random assortment of dinim, some dinim are Tzarzal of Atala, and some dinim about the traveling from Bavel to Extravert, Extravert to Bavel. The third zone, which is relevant to Bishul, is the Gemara Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Mem Beis Amud Aleph. That's the third zone. That's coming up with Shem next week. That's sort of a continuation of Kli Rishon Kli Sheni, specifically in the world of the bathhouse. Gemara has a lot to say about the Ambati, so it's sort of specific applications. We'll get to that next week. And finally, the fourth zone is where we are right now, the Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara Mem Beis Amud Beis, about Bishul. So again, we saw Lama Tess and Ralph. We're going to get to Mem Amud Beis. We're going to get to Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and we are right now the Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara Mem Beis Amud Beis. And the Shulchan Aruch Hasif Tess picks up from that sugya that we saw. That what? The Mishnah, that this was one of the core Mishnahs of Bishul, and then the Mishnah teaches us, again, of course, the din that Kli Rishon is Mevashel and Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. Gemara says explicitly, as you saw on Daf Mem Amud Beis, that Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, but that's already not stated explicitly, but that's what the Mishnayos are teaching us through case law. And the Mishnah Mem Beis, right, the Ilfas and the Kedeir Havirim were talking about Kli Rishon took off the fire, so Kli Rishon Shalal Gabiyesh is still Mevashel, but Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. That's what it sounds like, and as we saw, the application of that, although it sounds so broad, may become incredibly narrow. Let's go. I'll say to Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch opened the Turin Shulchan Aruch open in Siftes by saying Kli Rishon Shalal Gabe Eish is still Mevashel. You can't put Tavlin into a Kli Rishon Shalal Gabe Eish. And that sounds like that's our standard case. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Turin Shulchan Aruch, get into the discussion that the Gemara had about Melach. But before you even get into that, before you get into the deal, Melach takes up sort of a lot of the discussion of souls is what the Gemara talks about. And you saw the Gemara has an extreme, the two extremes, either Melach is Mispashiv and Piklisheni, Or on the other hand, Meir Melech is very difficult to mevashel, and like raw beef, Meir Melech is only mevashel on the fire mamsh. So Melech, the Gemara clearly assumes, is an extreme. That's Rav Yosef thought Melech was normal. Kli Rishon, yes. Kli Sheni, no. The Gemara assumes the maskan of the two Lashonos is Melech, that salt is either one extreme or another extreme. So we'll get to salt takes up a lot of the focus of the Gemara, and salt takes up a lot of the focus of the Shulchan Aruch, but that's a side topic. So let's go al HaSeder. Shulchan Aruch opens by saying, that's the opening sentence. Then the Shulchan gets into Tavlin versus Malach and Zozo. Again, that's the principle. Klirishin is Mevashel, whether it's Agave Eish or Lo Agave Eish, but it sounds like but Klisheni would not be. But the Shulchan added one line. Klirishin is Mevashel, even if it's no longer on fire. That's the Mishnah. Kal Zman Shayad Zorazdo. Kal Zman Shayad Zorazdo. So that tells me a couple of things. What does that tell me? Number one, Magen Avraham says, well, that tells me that if you have a Kli Rishon, we let it cool down, there's no Bishul. Yeah? That you have Nesugah Nafnem, there's no Bishul without Yad Zorazdo. So even you have Mamish, the Supat. You have the Supat. So you let the Supat, you took it off the fire. You took it off the fire, seconds after taking it off the fire, it may be 200 degrees. An hour or two later, it may have gone down to 150, but eventually, you let it sit there long enough, it's going to cool down below Yad Zorazdo. So Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham says, look, Shulchan Aruch being very clear, Bishul requires a combination of two things. You know, Bishul requires a combination of many things, right? It has to be an Enim of Bishul, okay? And all the other topics are not a topic. And within here, it needs to be both Kli Rishon and Yad Zorazdo. The Magen Avraham does raise a possibility that Yerushalmi says you can't stick things into the pot even after it cools down. The below Yatzalazbo, the Lindon says he thinks it's a mistaken reading in the Yerushalmi. But Magen Avraham seems very bothered by the Yerushalmi because the Pashas is not. Shofar is clearly not like that. Pashas is not like that. It would be Machogos Bab Yerushalmi. It would be difficult. It would be a surprising Machogos Bab Yerushalmi. The Lindon says, on the bottom of Shofar, he says, don't worry. You read the Yerushalmi stolen carefully. The Lindon says, Yerushalmi never said that. Okay, so that much is clear. You're only going to have Bishul if you have a Kli Rishon plus Yad Zorazdo. So, what else is the Shulchan Aruch saying? By saying Kli Rishon Mevashel is almost Yad Zorazdo, so he's really saying two things. On the one hand, he's saying it's not Yad Zorazdo, so there's no Bishul. On the other hand, what else is he saying? What should he take in a stand on? Right. He's taking a stand that Machlok is the basis of Kotz, and the Taz on the side of Shulchan Aruch brings it right back. Again, you saw the Beis Yosef comes from Machlokes. More or less, doesn't directly structure it as such, but basically presents the Machlokes between Hagos Mordechai on the one end and Tosfos on the other hand. They were talking about very Hagos Mordechai. Telling the on the bottom. Look, if you follow the paper trail, Hagos Mordechai is quoting the Rav Yo, one of the early German Rishonim. The Rav Yo talking about a specific case, but I think if you think about it, he's really sort of dealing with a general issue. Yeah.
Who is that Hagos Mordechai?
I don't think so. Hagos, it was a common genre of Sefer among the later Ashkenazi Rishonim to write Hagos. Hagos meant that you would take an earlier Sefer Halacha and add notes that quote more of the later Rishonim that are commenting on the same topic. Sometimes you would take a Sephardi Sefer and add the Ashkenazi approach. That's what Hagos Maimini, a contemporary of the Rush and the Mordechai, did to the Rambam. Rambam is presenting his sheet on things. Hagos Maimini at the bottom says, well, Rabbi Natan, about that topic, Rabbi Natan said this, and the Rebbe said that, and the Rabbi Yel said that. So it quotes all the parallel sheetas of Ashkenazim. Or the Bach always refers to what we call the Ramah, the Bach calls Hagos Shulchan Aruch. It's the same thing. He took Shulchan Aruch, which is predominantly a Sephardi Halacha Sefer, and he says, you quote Rama who said this, but you should know that Tosfos said that. And that's sort of a running commentary. Sometimes, but he also have it on Ashkenazi Sefer. The Rush wrote the Sefer, right, the Pisker Rush. So a couple of generations later, think of Yaakov Mikrems, one of the late Chachmi Ashkenaz, wrote the Agalas Ashri, where he sort of adds more shittas of other Ashkenaz and shown that the Rosh didn't vote. Or you have the Agalas Mordechai. I don't know offhand who wrote the Agalas Mordechai. But he's continuing that work of being malakid more. The Mordechai in general, unlike his chaver and contemporary, the Rosh, the Mordechai is more German in style, because the Rosh was a little more French, Balatosa style. Now, the Rosh is more interested in Kashas Terutzim, as opposed to focusing solely on collecting Piskei Halacha. And that, since sort of the Rosh sort of like the end of the Balatosa, his chaver, Mordechai, was more of a German style. It's really more collecting Piskei Halacha of earlier Ashkenazi Rishonim and less of Kasha Tirutzim, Shaka V'Tayr, back and forth. Mordechai is less used often than the Rosh, because the Mordechai never got out of Germany. The Rosh escaped Germany, fled to Spain, and lived to a ripe old age. Rosh Mordechai goes, Maimon, you were all Tamidim Rami Rutenberg. The Mordechai didn't get out of Germany in time, and he was killed in the Rindfleisch massacres as a relatively young man. So I think it's assumed that he didn't really have a chance to edit a Sefer because he didn't live that long. The Rosh had a chance to write a Sefer and then revise and edit. And plus, the Rosh's son wrote the Torah. And the Rosh was rushed. The Rosh was rushed. But the Mordechai, had he had the chance to edit a Sefer, would have been even more impactful than it was. It certainly is a very significant Sefer in the canon of Rishonim. And here, the Agos Mordechai, in the back of the Mordechai, says, and by the way, here's an important Rav Yom. And that Rav Yom makes it to the page of the Beis Yosef. And what does Rav Yom say? So what he's talking about is that he says, maybe we can be Mako even in Kli Rishon. He says, you know, the Mishnah spoke about Ilfus and Kidei Rosh Ahed, the Mishnah in Beis Amaral, that if you took the pot off the Behed, they were Mir Yotachim. You took them, boiling off the fire. So don't put Tavlin, well, not you can put salt in, that's Mahotz the Gemara, but don't put it in Tavlin. Don't take that, maybe that sweet potato, whatever it is, don't put it in that root, don't put in that seasoning, don't put it in into the Klerishim, because it's the problem of Bishon. The question, what do you mean Hadir Mirutachim? What do you mean Hadir Mirutachim? When is this happening? So I believe it's at the Tal, or Privatadim, who points out, well, Rashi said, Avirim, we were talking, you took it off bubbling, being a shmasho, says Rashi, don't put in the top of the mishatechshach. So Rashi sounds like it's, you took it off, being a shmasho, and a while later, you're going to, even a while later, you can't put things in. So Rashi sounds like, even later on, but the Rav Yah is of the assumption, right? Rav Yah says, his read of the Mishnah was, You can't put it while it's in the Rutachin. Your mamish just took it off the fire. It's boiling hot. Don't put things in then. But says Rav Yah, Agos Mordechai called Rav Yah, if you let it sit for a while, so yeah, you sort of take the edge off of the heat, even though it's still Yatzah Ledesba. It's still Yatzah Ledesba, but it's not really, really, really hot. It was on the fire, it was bubbling. It's already cooled down over time. It's gone down to, I don't know, depending on what you think Yatzah Ledesba is. Let's imagine if you assume Yatzah Ledesba, they'll get to that in a later week, but Yatzah Ledesba is. Let's assume, let's say, just purpose of illustration, let's say Yatzah Ledesba is 140 degrees. Let's say. So you took it off the fire, it was manish 210, 200, and a while later it's gone down to 170, 160, still above Yatzah Ledesba. If your whole Yatzah Ledesba is 140, but it's no longer anywhere near boiling, so Magarabas Mayakar says, that's fine, go ahead, no official. Even though it's way more than Yatzah Ledesba. Yeah, but it's no longer straight hot, fresh hot off the fire. That's the position of the Rav Yah. Beis Yosef gets very upset. Beis Yosef gets very upset. He said things against the Gemara earlier, and the Taz says, well, maybe it's not. Now, back and forth, how you read the Gemara. There's certain our Gemaras that seem to talk about Yatzah Ledesba as the shear of Bishul. But that's that goes, we'll get back maybe in a couple of moments to how you could. How the Agos Mordechai could protect himself, but that Shita Agos Mordechai is it's not enough to have Kli Rishon which the Yatzah Ledesba. You have to have Kli Rishon which is close to boiling in order to do Bishul. That's to be either still Agave Ha'esh, or if it's already Shlo Agave Ha'esh, it better be, it was recently recently off the fire, very recently off the fire, still very, very, very hot. Beis Yosef says, I don't think so. I don't think it's correct. Does it not have a problem? What does Beis Yosef say? Does it not have a problem? Klisheni could be yad to let us bow, and Klisheni is not mabashal. What's the difference between Klisheni and Klisheni? Because that's about what Rav Yosef seems to say. Klisheni is very hot. This came with the fire. It's very hot. Once you pour into Klisheni, it's not going to be as hot. So then Beis Yosef says, no. You want to understand the difference between Klisheni and Klisheni? You got to look at that Tosfos that you saw in the Daf Nun Beis. Tosfos explained the difference between Klisheni and Klisheni. They might be the same temperature, but the Fanos Mekaros. When you put in the Klisheni, I could have a pot of soup that's been sitting for a while and it's gone down to 160, or I could scoop out of the pot right away and put it into a bowl, and it'll be 160 degrees there. 160 degree soup in the Klisheni in the pot versus 160 degree soup in the bowl in the Klisheni, they're not the same. Why not, says Tosfos? Because right now they're the same temperature, but if it's in the pot, it's going to retain its heat much better because the pot walls are hot also. Rashaika, you put it into the soup bowl, and maybe you got 160 now, maybe a couple minutes after you put it in the bowl, it's 160, but the fanos makaros, but the bowl, the walls of the bowl are cold. They may be warming from the soup, but if they're warming from the soup, that means the soup is cooling from the bowl. That's how thermodynamics works. That's thermodynamics 101. So the bowl walls, the Klisheni walls, are going to be actively sucking heat out of the soup, and it's going to cool it down. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. Rabbi Beis Yosef says, that's pshat in Klisheni versus Klisheni, is what are the walls doing to the soup? So what it sounds like is the following. It sounds as though the Rav Yos thinks the difference between Klisheni and Klisheni is a question of temperature. The Klisheni generally is warmer, and it's hotter. And the Klisheni might be hot, but not nearly as hot. And to cook, you need more than just yatsa let us bow, you need mamish really, really, really hot. And Tosfos is saying, no. That's not the pshat. The pshat, klisheni is not a question of temperature, it's a question of the rate of temperature drop. If there are mathematicians in the room, Rav Yosef seems to be focused on T, and Tosfos seems to be focused on the first derivative of T. I mean, they right now might be the same, they might be the same temperature, But the fact that temperature is dropping rapidly, that already makes it not a davar hamavashal. That's not considered bishul because right now it's 160, but it's going to be dropping down to 140, to 120, to 100 much more rapid, somewhat more rapidly in the klisheni than it will in the klirishin. Now, it could be, I am extending myself a little bit here. You could have said that the ravia thinks you need both, and you need to have the defanos mechamamos, the defanos of the Klisheni plus the heat, but the truth is there is another shita, the chronim, which may perhaps if the Rav Yah is, as I said, all he cares about is temperature. It's certainly, I think, not the only way, but certainly an appealing way to read the Rav Yah. It's really about temperature, and it's not really about Klisheni and Klisheni. Rav Yah sounds like he's saying that's just examples. Klisheni tends to be very hot. Klisheni tends to be hot but not boiling hot. But the Rav Yos sounds like, I don't really care whether this is the pot or this is the bowl. What I really care about is temperature. A rule of thumb, in general, it's rare that the Klisheni will be so hot. And the Klisheni, if it's within a few minutes of coming off, that's what he said. Right? Once you let the Klisheni sit, it's no better than a Klisheni. Now, there's a Chayadim that seems to match up with that. Right? Because the Rav Yos had said, an old Klisheni that's no longer hot enough is not a Klisheni. There's a Chayadim who says something in the opposite direction, which seems to complement the Rav Yah well. Chayadim has a Shita, Shibur quotes in passive. I think most poskim are not ready to jump on the dag bag, and Shmir Shabbos quotes in a footnote, but he doesn't seem like he's ready to machma like that. Chayadim thinks that if you have the Klisheni, which is super hot, Yad Nichvefo, not just Yad Seletusbo, that you jump back, but so it's enough to burn, really, really hot Klisheni, a rarity, but there are Chayadim thinks. Then even Klisheni is mevashal. How do you make sense of that? L'chora, the simplest way to look at things, that's the other half of the Hagadah Mordechai. Hagadah Mordechai, the Rav Yah was saying that Klisheni, but it's no longer super hot, not mevashal. Chayadim is saying, even if it's a Klisheni, but if it is super hot, it's mevashal. Now, if you put the two together, then what you have is a shita that we don't really care about Kilushin Kilusheni at all, per se. Those are just examples. All they care about is heat. Kilushin Kilusheni are just examples of super hot or just plain hot. Super hot is Mabashal, plain hot is not. Whereas Tosis, instead of says, yeah, but Tosis. Tosis said, no, not, it's not about the temperature. I mean, it has to be above Yasaletus Bo. But once you're above Yasaletus Bo, you need Yasaletus Bo plus really Kilushin. Tosis says, really care about Kilushin, he explained why. Again, because of the DTDT, and because of the finals Makaros, if Yal Sezbo but the finals Makaros, then you're not going to have Bishol. Bishol requires both mild heat, not, Tosis doesn't care about super hot, Rav Yos Chiddush, Rav Yos Kula, but Tosis cares about the heat, Yal Sezbo plus, that you still have those walls which are keeping it warm. It could even be, this is very speculative, it's even conceivable, you saw a Sifyur, the Shulchan Aruch didn't start by Iroi. Right? We paskin that Iroi, we paskin the middle approach. Right? Tosis already in Shabbos presented two approaches, the Rashbam versus Re, in Tosfos and Shabbos, it's the Re. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah presents it as Rashbam versus Rabbi Natan. Rashbam and Rabbi Natan were brothers. They're both grandsons of Rashi. They're brothers. Rashbam was much older than Natan. I think it's assumed that Rashbam was old enough to have learned significantly with his grandfather. Rabbi Natan was probably much younger when his grandfather died. So you saw that Machlok is Rashbam versus Rabbi Natan and the Re. What's the story with the Iroi? Which is literally in between Kilush and Kilusheni. I pour it out of the Kli, I pour, not that I let the water land in the Kilusheni and then I stick the food in afterwards, but I pour from the Kilushen onto the raw food. So that's Iroi Kilushen. So it's in between, not, I didn't put it into the Kilushen, but nor did I allow the liquid, the hot liquid, to already land in the Kilusheni. So we pass in like the in-between opinion, which Tosis quotes anonymously in Shabbos. Tosis and Baruch Zohar tells us who it is. It's Rabbeinu Baruch. And Rabbeinu Baruch was, you don't hear him quoted by name that much in Tosos, but he was a very important member of the Bali of Tosos, and he was famous for the Sefer that he wrote, Sefer HaTrum. Rabbeinu Baruch is quoted by Tosis and Baruch Zohar, they say, yeah, it's Rabbeinu Baruch who said the in-between position, because the earlier Bali of Tosos had rice l'kam l'kam. Some rice indicate that Iroi is like Kilushin, some rice indicate it's not. So the answer is, they're both right, sort of. Because Rabbeinu Baruch's approach was when you pour onto the food, so the first layer, the first kidei klipa, the first peel, the outermost layer of the food gets cooked, but the rest does not. But where does that leave us? Halachal ma'isin, and when halachal ma'isin, that means on Shabbos it's a problem. Because you might not be cooking the whole food, you are cooking part of the food. It's irrelevant in other areas because klirishin klisheni is not only an issue in halachal Shabbos. Klirishin klisheni is an issue in many different areas of halacha where bishul comes up. We've seen in the past that Shabbos is not the only staging ground for the concept of bishul and halacha. It's going to come up by Karban Pesach. It's going to come up in terms of defining lechem we saw. And it comes up, and here's what's relevant for Kilush and Kilusheni in particular, is in the world of kashrus. Is this going to cause food to be absorbed? And when you kasher, run, remove the tray from Belias from a Kli, it has to be as strong as the way it went in. So we see it as sort of three levels. Kli Rishon, Iri Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. If I'm pouring some hot tarfus onto a cold piece of food, so I would say that's not klisheni, it's not klirishin, it's in between, it's iri klirishin. If I was taking the kosher food and stuck it into the hot tray for pot, so the whole thing may have become tray, because it gets absorbed in the whole thing. If I'm only pouring onto it, so we assume it's mevashel kidei klipa. That also means, machlokes harishonim, whether flavor only travels to the extent that there is bishul. We tend to be makel that that's true. In other words, if there's no bishul, there's no flavor transfer. We're makel that there's no flavor transfer in a cliche. It's a big machlokas of Rishonim. Vachamaisa we have mekel. If you had a bowl of tray for soup, not in the pot, and some kosher food fell in, so there was no bleeder. Or I stuck a kosher spoon into a bowl of tray for soup. We say, look, it's just a cliche, the same way cliche in the Vashel, we're also makel that the cliche won't cause bleeders. So the soup is straight, but the spoon remained kosher. How about this eroid? So we'll say, look, the outer layer of the food became trade, the inside remains kosher. That's the general layout when it comes to Eruv Klibishin. The debate may, perhaps, speculatively, it could be part of it hinges on this question. It's conceivable. In other words, according to Rav Yah, that's all about heat. So it stands to reason that he would hold like a minatam. Look over. He was kliushin. Marshes just came out of the kliushin. If the kliushin is still hot, then it poured out. Well, that should be just as hot. To say that iruz kiklisheni, or for that matter to say what we say, that iruz is the Rabbeinu Baruch Shita, that iruz is sort of in between, that sounds much more aligned with the position of Tosis in Masechet Shabbos Daf Mem. That the dintu kiklisheni is not the temperature, dintu kiklisheni is there something holding on to the heat, or is there something that's reducing the heat. So that shita could work with all three, because you'll say, you could say, look, you no longer have the walls maintained heat, it's already in the cold air. It's no longer the fanos mechalos. Right? You could argue, if you accept Tosis, you could also say, Rabbi Tam, which would be to say, look, okay, the one hand you don't have the walls keeping the heat, on the other hand, you don't have anything cooling it down. So, the fanos mechalos. No defines makaros, so it's kiklishin. Or our position, which is it's in between, because it is in between. Because on the one hand, it's in cold air. On the other hand, it's not the same as being a cold bowl, because cold air cools things down much less rapidly than a cold solid. Right? Raya Ladavar, the temperature in this room is probably around 70 degrees, give or take. Yeah. Hopefully all pretty comfortable. If you jumped into 70-degree water, it would be freezing. It would be painfully cold for most people. Would not be feel like room temperature. You wouldn't believe that's the same temperature as the comfortable room temperature air. What's pshat? Because we're not getting into the physics details, but the specific heat of the air is much lower.
Insulation.
So, right. Well, so it perhaps, but also because air sucks heat away from you at a far lower rate than, I think, 500 times more slowly than water. Something like that. So that's why, that's why when it's you have a kiluach in the air, so it's sort of in between. In terms of from the defaros makaros perspective of Tosis, it's sort of in between. Because, well, you don't have the, it's no longer encased with the hot walls that are slowing the cooling process down. On the other hand, it isn't cold air, but cold air is not at all the same as cold bowl walls. So that's what I sort of in between, and that would explain the position of Eibara. Were you to say like the Rav Yah, then Lechor, you would have to say, like, if you say like Tosis, you have all the options open. If you say like the Rav Yah, then Lechor, you have to say, like Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, that the Iri is Mamish Ke Kli Rishon. One more point in terms of the Bagos Mor. There's a lot to say about Bagos Mor and Tosis, but one more point. Yeah, question.
Can you repeat that comparison between the.
Sure, sure. Again, let's recap where we've been. The Mishnah Membeis tells us implies a chiluk between Klishen and Klisheni, which the Gemara in Daf Membeis formulates explicitly that Klisheni is not Mavashel. That's essentially what the Mishnah is telling us through cases. You can't put the tavel into the pot even if it's off the fire, but once you transfer the soup from the pot to the bowl, then you're allowed to put the tavel in. So you see, klirishin even off the fire is mevashel, klisheni off the fire, not mevashel. Now that raises two questions, which are linked. One is in terms of the language of the Mishnah. How long has it been since you took it off? Hevir merutachin. That means you took off a long time ago. It means you took it off a moment ago. And the other question is, what, aside from pshat in the language, is what's the bir hadavar? Why should there be a chila between kedushin and kedushin? Is it hot or it's not? So the hashul is not hot. What do I care whether it's in a pot or a bowl? So I'm suggesting those two things are linked. The Rav Yah, quoted by the Gaon Mordechai, quoted by Beis Yosef, says, the whole kedushin is only very soon after it comes off the fire. And Beis Yosef attacks that and tells us, look at Tosfos instead. And so what the Gaon Mordechai, essentially Beis Yosef is saying, is that the Rav Yah's understanding of kedushin versus kedushin is really just about temperature. It's all about temperature. Tosfos has a more subtle difference that has to do with the rate of change of temperature. The defanos makaros versus defanos makalos. Okay, so that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas Hagadah Mordechai and Tosfos. I suggest that if you take the Hagadah Mordechai all the way, it's going to wind up with a Chayadah. Chayadah has the flip case, where it's a klisheni, but it's very hot. So that doesn't have to be the same, but if you put the two of them together, then you have a very consistent shita, and exactly the opposite of what Tosfos said. Again, two approaches to why klisheni and the Vashel. Klisheni and Vashel is because Kaktik is not so hot, or, which is the implication of the Hagadah Mordechai, or klisheni and the Vashel, because it may be very just out of tradition, but defanos Mekaros. So Tosfos really cares about klisheni. The Rav Yah sounds like klisheni just examples. Generally, this is more hot, this is less hot. But if you have a klisheni, which is very hot, it is mevashal. Klisheni, which is no longer quite so hot, or Rav Yah says, not mevashal. Now, in terms of the... So a few things. Number one, this may have implications for how you look at Yirui. Because Iroi is a 3 days in Baliatosis, whether Iroi, and then the Rajba tells you, we're already discussing the question of Iroi at the Rajba here in the Daphne Beis, Amid Aleph, on the Mishnah. So three approaches, whether Iroi is Mamash like a Klishen, or Mamash like a Klisheni, or somewhere in between. In other words, is Klishen, has to be a Klishen, or else you have a Vashel, or is it that you don't need a Klishen, just it better not be a Klisheni, in which case Iroi is the same as Klishen, or Iroi is sort of half and half. Right? So it has a lot to do with the long, long Tosfos in several places, working through the Gemara of Zara, about the Navar Tichu, and the Gemara in Shabbos, trying to fit all the pieces together, and then there's an important Gemara in Pesachim also. The Gemara talks about pouring something hot into something cold. You have a cold piece of meat, and drop a hot piece of meat onto it, perhaps, that's the case, perhaps. Or I pour something hot onto it. So should I now say that the... Do I say that the flavor transfers or not? They're both hot, two hot things together, so then there'd be a transfer of flavor. Right? But how about if so the Gemara says, how about if one is hot and one is cold? So we paskin tato'a davar, the bottom one wins, which means the bottom one is hot, then you call this a hot situation. Right? So think about, I have a hot pot of soup, and I drop a cold tray for meatball in. So we say the meatball is cold, but the soup is hot. The bottom thing, the stationary thing, is hot. We call that a hot situation. It's going to be a transfer of flavor. But how about the reverse, where I had the hot thing falling onto the cold thing? There we say, basically, tatal cover, basically it's a cold situation, but Gemara seems to say, maybe that first layer, you'll only have the first layer of the cold thing will be impacted. So that becomes the source for the position that we accept, the middle position, Beinu Baruch. It sounds like Iroi, not exact, necessarily exactly the same as Iroi, but certainly sounds at least in principle like Iroi. And we're saying that you have hot going into cold, that sounds like pouring something hot onto something cold. That's like Iroi Klirishin. Okay? It's in a situation of Iroi Klirishin. So it's over in between. The first layer gets cooked, but the rest is now. Okay, so again, we have a machlokas about Klirishin, Klishin, does that have to do with heat? Does that have to do with Tvanach Makaras? We have, independently, three of machlokas baliatosos, what's the status of Erud, based on how you read a host of Gemaras. What I was suggesting is that there is a partial linkage between those two. We who accept Tosos, the difference between Kudushin and Kushani is the final Makaros. Then you have Lachor, all the options. That Svara allows you to say any of the three about Erud. Because Erud really is in between. It's not, no longer has the hot walls to keep the heat in, but it's not yet hit a cold wall to cool it off. It's in the air, which again is not quite the same as cold air, not the same as cold bowl. So as I was explaining before, specific heat. So in Mela, if you're looking at it from a Tosis perspective, the Fanus Makaros, the Erud is sort of in between. You could conceivably say, like Rabbeinu Tam and Lari, that's completion, or like Rashbam, that's completion, or like Lipas and Rabbeinu Barav, that's in between. If, however, your approach to completion and completion is that of the Rav Yom that goes Mordechai, that it really has to do with heat, it's really just a question of temperature, so then Lachora, the Erud Klirishin is the same as the Klirishin. And then, look, the Rav Yah would say if you let the, even if it stays in the Klirishin, if it sits too long off the fire, it lost its heat. Okay, but if it's still hot enough to be called a Klirishin of Rav Yah, so you pour it out, it hasn't, at hard time, you can test it if you like in the lab, but I imagine the temperature drops minimally over the course of a flow. So that is Lich Ora, the Rav Yah would say like the Machmer position. Now we're not machmir with Tam. We assume that Erud is only kineklipa, but also we don't pass like Rav Yah, and that brings us back to the open line in the Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch said Kli Rishon, even if it's off the fires of the Basha, as long as Yasladus Bo. So on the one hand, Magen Avraham said it means below Yasladus Bo is mutter, even the Kli Rishon, but if it's just warm, I left the pot of soup sitting for hours. It's just warm. Now there's no problem. Of Bishol, because now Yasladus, but yeah, but on the other hand, we also assume that as long as Yasladus goes Mabashal, Rav Yo would never say that. It's only Yasladus go. It has to be 200 degrees. It has to be close to boiling. So we don't pass on that to Rav Yo. I should note, though, in terms of the Taz does try to revive the Rav Yo. He says, the Taz writes, he thinks they so said attack could be pushed back. So there's one thing to think about. Is that the Beis Yosef's attack on the Rav Yah, a Rai, Beis Yosef's Rai, the only means Yasladus Bo, was in Daf Mem, where we're talking about oil and water. Now, remember back to one of the very first things we saw when we always started learning Sugis with Bishul, is the Rambam points out the definition of Bishul by food and by water are very different. Now, remember that Rambam, he says, the Av of Bishul is you're cooking the food or you're heating the water. And then he said later on, a couple of hours later, there's a tolda, which is yet a third type of bishul, which is to melt or to harden non-food items. So it could be that perhaps, even the Rav Yah would have only said yeshita if you're talking about solid food. That may be the answer. Even the Rav Yah may have said, of course, to heat water, yasaleh as well as bishul. So if I have a hot pot, and I'm going to pour in some water, and it's going to go to Yasladus Bo, of course that's bishul of water. The Rav Yah's whole kula may only have been from dropping solid food into the Klirishin. Because solid food, it's not a question of heating it, it's a question of, through heat, cooking it. So Rav Yah said, cooking is only going to be when it's very bad, perhaps. But Derech Efsher, maybe the Rav Yah's kula, we don't accept Rav Yah's kula anyways. At least the Yasladus Bo is any problem, whether it's solid food or liquid. But it could be just in terms of how the Rav Yah would have dealt with the Gemara Daf Mem, the Beis Yosef thought was a fatal flaw. Perhaps Rav Yah's shita is limited. Perhaps Rav Yah's kula, that you need a lot of superheat to do bishul, that's if what you're throwing into the Klirishin is a solid food. If you're throwing into the Klirishin is a liquid, then the whole malacha of bishul is just chimum. So then already, what's it called? So then already, maybe the Rav Yah would agree that as long as the Klirishin is a Yasaladus Bo, you better not pour in any liquids like Mayim or Shem. Question?
What daf is the Pesachim
Gemara? Samaches. Ayin Vav. Samaches. I don't remember. The Tosis quoted it, yeah? Ayin Vav. Tosis and Mendez, The Tosafot talks about Iroi, it's interesting, in two different places in the same parak. That's I think, a little bit of a rarity. And the Tosafot Lamed Tes was a shorter Tosafot. They tried to bring a raya one way or the other from the language of the Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei. We'll get to that later on, because that has something important to tell us about Kli Sheni. But the major discussion in Kira is that longer Tosafot is Mem Beis. And it parallels in many ways the Tosafot in Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Would the Rav Yaakov wait less time to use the Kli Sheni? Is it possible, like, after
cool down,
you can use the Klishini or
Klishini? Yes. Just to clarify, it's always important in learning to remember that what the Rishon said, which often was a specific din about a specific case, versus the interpretation, the underlying concept that we see as driving it. What the Rav Yoh said is that a Klishini sits for a few minutes off the fire, it's no longer super hot, put stuff in.
Right.
No, it's no longer mevashal. Not enough. It's a klishin. Has to be klishin and super hot, unless it's on the fire. But if it's not on the fire, it's no longer on the source of heat. So it better be right off of the source of heat. And well, the suggestion of Beis Yosef starts. I mean, Rav Yosef begins to say this, and Beis Yosef certainly implies it further that the issue is what's the difference between klishin and klishin. And his that the Rav Yosef's understanding of klishin seems to be the point of klishin is that it's super hot. But sort of the psak that he gave was that we don't accept it. Shachar clearly rejects the halacha because clearly says only das lez bo is mevashal. But Rav Yoh thought it's the klirishim plus supra. Correct. Yeah.
Limiting to bishul because the temperature issue that the Rav Yoh wants to, doesn't that lead out the factor that cooking usually takes perpetual heat. You take meat, you heat up water and take it off the fire, and you throw a piece of meat in it. The water probably cool off before the meat cooks. No.
Yeah, well, remember, meat, anyways.
Unless you put it in klisheni, where now you have two factors that are cooling it down. The bowl is now cooling it off, and the thing itself you put in is sucking it.
Yeah, so that brings us back to the world of Melach. Then bring back to the world of Melach, and a little bit to the world of Melach and Gemara Mem Beis and Beis. A little bit the question of Shemin, maybe not quite the same. Shemin also, both of them are cases that the Gemara is willing to consider that it may not fit the usual categories. Maybe Shemin doesn't lend itself to Bishul at all, but that may have to do with the Rambam's idea that something that does not meet on the Bishul. But let's talk about Melach. The Melach on Beis and Beis. So, as the other Gemara is already saying, look, there are exceptions. Remember the Gemara says that beef is an exception? And the Gemara doesn't say it as a practical rule, and that's why the Torah quotes the Rosh, and they get quoted in the page of Shulchan Aruch. Practically speaking, you're not allowed to put beef into a klirishin off the fire, because while the solid parts of the meat aren't going to cook unless it's directly on the fire, but there are going to be juices, and they're going to cook. So when you look at that for a moment, you say, 1 second, how could the Rosh say that, but the Gemara said the Gemara said you need dalgave esh. Right? At first you look at that Rosh, like, well, how does it fit with the Gemara? The answer, of course, is that the Gemara never gave a psak about beef. That was just the Gemara's way of describing salt. The Gemara said, salt is like beef. So it can be, practically speaking, beef always is intertwined with its juices. It can be, practically speaking, you can't put beef into a klirishin off the fire. But in theory, if I could isolate the solid parts of the beef, but the Gemara wasn't giving a practical din about beef. It was, however, giving a practical din about salt. It was saying salt is like beef, or according to the Rosh, salt is like the solid parts of beef.
We're also talking about beef as an entity, so meat juicing might cook, but the meat itself won't cook in its entirety.
Right, okay.
So I'm saying, right, you might have some cooking with the entire thing. So salt is hard to cook like an entire piece of meat, no?
Right, no. It certainly is true that the meat as a whole will not be cooked if you put it into klushin shol dabei esh. Correct. And then they have relevance for ein bishul achar bishul, perhaps. In other words, it's very nice you put it into klushin shol dabei esh, but it's not, the meat itself is not cooked. You better not put it on top of the chalon pot tomorrow. But coming back here, the Gemara is certainly willing to suggest that there might be foods that are not the norm. And the Gemara, as a matter of fact, isn't sure which way salt goes. Right? Interesting. The Gemara, I'm arriving at all three possibilities. Either salt is like normal foods, or salt is less than normal foods, or salt is more than normal foods. It occurred to me salt was like the tea of the Amoron. The same like in the last couple of centuries, you have knowledge like min ha-katze el ha-katze. The debate among Achronim about is tea like regular things? Is tea even more susceptible to cooking? Less susceptible to cooking? Rashi says they pick you a lot to make tea in klishin. He thinks tea is not a food item because tea leaves are not edible. So it's just halacha vav in what's it called? Halacha vav in the Rambam. It's a non-food item. So it doesn't lend itself to bill. You're not melting it. He assumes it's not salamani. Work that through. But he assumes you get a lot of put that you can't do irui. We wouldn't do irui, but you could put the tea into a klisheni, also because of what we're going to talk about in terms of klisheni. He's certainly not worried about kale, bishul, or messing. Vashul will get to that in a couple of moments. But then, as you may have seen, there's a wide spectrum of shitas that are more machma than that. A wide range. So it's it sounds like the Amoron had that same experience with salt. How do you do salt on Shabbos? And the Amoron who said you take the soup pot, this pot of soup off the fire, throw the salt. The other Amoron wouldn't even salt the soup when it was in their bowl. The same way we don't put bread into the soup, they wouldn't put salt into the soup bowl because it's klisheni. And animal mice, as you saw in Shulchan Aruch, Mikra Din, we are Mekel, that the salt is the only problem in the klishin. On Al Gabi Ha'esh, you're allowed to salt the chant, you take the chant off the fire, and then it's still in the chant pot, and you realize that it's not sufficiently salted, you're allowed to salt the chant while it's still in the pot. So there's something that Chachman Ashna say, I'm machmer tal v'al v'brach. Well, I'm machmer, I have to do it in the klishin. It's very merit-worthy, it's beautiful, you get a bracha, but Mikra Din, Me'ikra din, it is mutter. And not only that, but there's another way in which salt is reminiscent of tea, and that is a comment of the Me'iri on Daf Mebeis. The Me'iri makes the point that he says salt is not mizbashon klisheni, it might not be mizbashon klirishon. He says it's true that it's nimcha, it dissolves, but michuyo lozehu bishulo. It's true that it disappeared into the food. But don't confuse that with, not everything that happens in a hot situation is bishul. And he says, because after all, the salt can also dissolve into cold food. It might take longer, but it'll work there too. So clearly, says the Rebbe Meiri, the fact that it dissolves so naturally into hot food doesn't mean necessarily that cooking is going on. And that's very reminiscent of one of the issues that goes on with tea. Because some folks can say, look, if you put the tea into the hot water, even the klishlishi may be somewhere in machmir. Look, you see it becomes tea. You put the leaves in, and all of a sudden the water changes color. So you see it's cooking. And others say, essentially what the Miri said about salt. There is a process going on.
But it does work in cold. It just takes a lot longer.
Right, and it does happen faster in hot water. But look, if you leave a tea bag in cold water, it's going to take a lot longer. Brown motion is not as heightened. But lemaisa, sooner or later, it's just diffusion. And it's going to happen even if you can leave in the refrigerator overnight, and you'll have iced tea in the morning. So it's mamash the same argument that Miri makes about salt, almost identical process also. The dissolving of the salt and the diffusion of the tea into the water. It definitely is, yeah. Salt is... I'm not 100% sure what the... It's fascinating there was a machlokas. It certainly is true that salt has... I got my hands on any good books about food chemistry, but it certainly is true that salt changes the way that water boils. It raises, as I looked at this a little bit, it seems that it raises the boiling point, but very, very mildly.
Does it really make a difference?
Yeah, you have to put a lot of salt in order to really raise the boiling point very significantly. Salt lowers the freezing point of water, that's why you put salt on ice and stuff to make it melt. Salt will raise the boiling point of water, but if you're talking about,
boiling noodles.
Yeah, right. Well, if you're talking about a ratio of salt to water that's edible, and it's not going to raise the boiling point very much, maybe a degree or two mantle. But what it does do significantly is it hastens the process of boiling. Because it's no longer pure water, it's a solute, you have a solute, so it causes the boiling to happen more rapidly, at the same temperature more or less, But it gets there with the same application of heat. You'll get the salt water will reach 212 more rapidly than regular water will reach 212. So that may be part of what lies behind the question of
stay hot longer. Because that's what we're talking about, the rate of change.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm not sure.
But Chazal, perhaps this is very speculative, but it may be that the fact that salt can change the cooking process that's going on, the Chazal were clarifying, do we see that as a bishul of the salt itself, right, or not? And that may be at least part, perhaps through it as this possibility, it may be at least part of what's going on. Halacha l'maaseh, again, we pass that salt is not this bishul even a klibishon unless it's on the fire. You may not pour salt into the pot while still on the fire, but anything short that nikkur is mutter. If you want to be machmir, you certainly can. Mordechai also has a discussion of maybe our salt is different than their salt. Already cooked, it's already mevushal, so maybe ein bishul acha bishul. Okay, so he spoke about the difference between klibishon and klisheni.
Why don't we say that? Meaning, if it's cooked salt or kosher salt or purified salt or something. If you knew your salt was cooked already, we would.
I think that's what the Mordechai said. There is some discussion in the kiss, and it's sort of like following the language whether machmer tava or bracha is just about the question of raw salt in a klibishon or klisheni, or machmer tava or bracha is even about this question of melach shalanu, our salt. There's certainly in terms of the raw salt, it's machlokas amaram. And Tosas already says that's machlokas amaram. The mikra dinur we. And there's a big debate on how to figure out. And so some of the posts can point out. Often when you have an ikdamri, the rule is, I think Tosis points out, right, on the bottom of the element. Right? Normally you would say, ikdamri, such as rice and lechorma. But here, since you have Rav Nachman agrees either way, either Rav Nachman is making, the question is, does everyone else agree with him? That's where more notes is. That's why I said, look, but there's still there is a possibility that Amram would disagree. We're talking about din daraisa. So machmer tava bracha. Whether or not machmer tava bracha should also apply to melach shalanu is a question. I don't know though how our salt. I mean, he's talking about salt the way it was made a couple hundred years ago. I'm not sure if it's the same as it's made in the Morton factories.
Would sea salt be different?
I don't know enough about the technology used for it.
To make heat seawater, no? Make sea salt.
Right. How do they heat it? I'm not sure. Maybe you gotta find out. That may be what the Mordechai said, because you can get salt from water. You can get salt from mine. If you mine it, so it's never heated. Presume it's what the Mordechai.
And that's
means.
How they did it in the Middle East. Yeah.
So maybe what the Mordechai is trying to say that melach shalanu is sea salt and it was boiled. So it was boiled already. It cooled down. But this is a okay.
We said salt doesn't cook in a klirishon, but we were just confused when we were reading, because it says about the putting the meat in the klirishon, it won't cook, but it says halachlukos v'ad.
That's a great kasha. That's an excellent, excellent kasha. And that last line, the rush, the chumra, by the rush is machmir, you can't actually put the beef in the klirishon off the fire because we're worried about the juices, right? It says the juice, the dam, and the melach. So you also don't need to worry about cooking the salt. Now, so at first I thought, and so that's what some of the guys pointed out. So first I thought, okay, well maybe it's because machmer tava of bracha. You want to be machmer for the salt, so maybe machmer for the salt. But the problem is the Rosh himself never quotes the machmer tava of bracha. Rosh just says
that in the meat from the salting of the meat for kashrus, or it just
no, that's what he means. Now it could be that once the salt blends into the, it's been sitting in the meat, maybe it blends and loses its salty state. I'm not sure. It's a difficult line in the Rosh. That's a very kasha. I don't have speculation. I don't have a real answer. Okay. Now, the thing is, though. So this is again. We spoke about the major issues. Major issue number one is Mishnah has a difference between klibush and klisheni. The Mishnah Med Beis, Gemara and Daf Mem. We spoke about two approaches as to why that's so. We have those Mordechai and Rav Yehuda versus Tosas, and there be nafkaminas. A klibishon which is not super hot, but is yatsa lettuce bow, and maybe also it's going to impact whether you can take any approach you want to Irui or not. We spoke a little bit how you might defend the position of the Rav Yah from the Bezos attack. It may have to do, maybe the Rav Yah only said it is cooler by solid food, but not by liquid. Okay. And we spoke a little about the salt, and the salt and the tea and the various points of contact there. What remains to talk about, I'm not going to tell Shema now, but what remains to talk about is... really three or four details, but one of them maybe not such a detail. Before you even get into detail, just one mamash, literally detail, Achol Maisa, Shmuel Shabbos, Bechasa points out that Iroi, as Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud, Iroi, you're not allowed to do Iroi on Shabbos. For Hilchos Shabbos purposes, it doesn't make that much of a difference whether it's Mevashel Kedei Klipa or Mevashel the whole thing. Either way, you need Mevashel Kedei Klipa, it's already a problem, and they are relevant to Mevashel Chavishel. But we do paskin that ear is vashkei klipa, and if you do paskin, you're not allowed to pour from the hot water onto the tavlin. So one quick point is that Shmuel Shabbos the house points out, but since it's only kedei klipa, you're allowed to pour hot from a kli rishon onto a bottle of liquid. I'll tell you when it's relevant. As I have. Let's say I either have a cold bottle of water. I have plenty of hot water, but it's not drinkable, right? It's not filtered, let's say. I have hot water, but it's not filtered. I want to heat up the cold water in my container. Or I have milk in a bottle. I have formula in a bottle. I have milk in a bottle. I want to warm it up. So I don't have to pour the hot water into the dime cup or the bowl, whatever, first, and then stick the bottle in. I don't have to create a cliché first. It's enough to, but I can't take the bottle and stick it into the kettle. I can't take the bottle and stick it into the pot because that's not a kli rishon, that's the problem. But to pour from the kli rishon, from the kettle, directly onto the bottle of formula is fine because ear is only vashe kadei klipa. But what's the klipa? The first layer is just the bottle. No problem. You're not cooking the bottle. You're not melting the bottle away. Inside, all you care about is that you're heating the milk. So the milk is beyond the kadei klipa. It'll warm. But that's not considered to be bishul, and so that's an important, the practical application of the fact that ir is mevashel, but only kedei klipa. But now let's talk about a couple of key points.
So does that have thick the bottle?
No, a klipa in Yardea it comes up more. Klipa is assumed to be the thinnest layer that you could peel away. There's a thicker sheer of layer in Yeridea called Kedei Netila. That's already like an inch maybe. But Kedei Klipa is just the thinnest layer that you can come off as a single peel. So that's certainly a bottle is going to be presumably at least that thick. So there are two things. Two different zones and then a closing point. One zone is that there is debate practically in terms of how you define the edges of where you draw the line between kli rishon and kli sheni. And the other major point is how much you really care about whether something is a kli rishon or kli sheni. How you define the draw the line between kli rishon and kli sheni, so there are two issues that come up. One is called davar gush, and the other one is a ladle. Davar gush is a solid item. The Magen Avraham talks about it here in our Siman Sifkat Memhei. Shach in Yeridei and Hilchos Taruvos talks about this. The Siman Kafei Sifkat Ches. There are those who said this whole business that you take out the original container, now it's a cliche, it's not a mevashel. That's all very nice. Why? Because what Tosfos say. Kli sheni is different because
he doesn't have heat
on it. The fanos makaros, because it's surrounded by bowl walls, which are going to be, actively lowering its temperature. So there were some late rishonim, the Yisur v'Heter, and the Marshal picks up on this, and the Shacham al-Avram both pick up on this possibility, that maybe it's only true by liquids. You have soup, you have chalons, you have a fluid, whether it's thicker or thinner, but it takes the shape of the container, so then it's the fanos makaros. But how about if you have a solid piece of chicken and a solid piece of steak and you put it on a plate? But it doesn't conform it would conform to the shape of the plate. That's what we call a davar gush. The gush means a block. I think you use gush as a gush etzion or gush katif, a block of land. But in this context, we mean a block of food, as a solid hunk of food, as opposed to a fluid that will take the shape of the container. So several major achronim are taken by this.
So you have salad next to your. Maybe not
salad,
but you have something on your plate that's...
Salad, yes. If I have raw salad.
Chicken?
Yes, if I have raw salad.
Is that something that doesn't need to be eaten cooked or something?
Yes, and also the question is how hot is the chicken right by the time it gets onto your plate?
Still, I mean, however...
Huh?
Or the meat and the chunk.
The meat and the chunk is probably not a problem because that's enmeshed in the liquid around it. Or the fluid, I should say. It may not be so liquid to you, but in other words, it may not pour, chum doesn't necessarily pour so well, but it certainly is a fluid in the sense that it takes the shape of the container.
But the meat doesn't.
I could be wrong. My impression is the post-com assume, I think the predominant view is that if it's in the, in those chunks in liquid or chunks in fluid are seen to be all cliché. But if you have mamash, a solid piece that stands on its own.
Or like rice or couscous or something like that. Salad are just very.
I think there also the Mishnah Berurah, the Shemir Shabbos Kachasa says that you have the little pieces it's that conform. Right. That also is not a davar gush, but it's not like a chunk.
Is this all about like surface area? If it's something that's small, that it's like a formal cool off quicker as opposed to a chunk of contain. I'm assuming it also matters on the size. When you have a little piece of meat, it's served.
It's in touch with the wall.
Unless you have a piece of salami that's hot. But it'll conform somewhat to the bottom of the plate.
Meaning it's flat.
Say the shape. You're talking about the size, not the shape.
Right.
It's so wide, it didn't need to roll. It's not that it's a fluid that's rolling across my plate, but it's already pre-shaped to be the equivalent of rolling across my plate. I'm not sure. Okay, you got to be aware of that. I will point out that there's a halacha l'masa, many are machmerim, including Mav Avraham is taken by the Shachar, Ray takes it as seriously. The Egle Tal thinks, Egle Tal points out machlokas, he has a different twist on it, but it sounds like, from the machlokas he points out, it sounds as though it might be a machlokas early Rishon, the question of Devar Gush. Egle Tal, if you want to take a look inside, Sif Katan on the base, obviously in Meleches Ofe. He points out, look, we were talking before all the different areas of halacha where bishul is relevant. It's relevant to Shabbos and to Karban Pesach and to defining lechem and to both transfer of flavor and kashering and one more area, daraisa, where bishul and klish and klishim specifically come up. And that is, that may not be daraisa, I take it back, but another area of halacha where it's relevant is the question of ma'aser. There's a Mishnah in Masros, it says the following. If you have a Jewish farmer growing, perhaps a non-Jewish farmer, or certainly a Jewish farmer growing produce in Eretz Yisrael, so you need to take of Trumas and Maisos from the produce, from the fruits, vegetables, grain, what have you, before you have the right to eat it. Until you take some Trumas and Maisos, it's Tevel, and take Trumas and Maisos, so that part goes to the Kohen and Levim, etc., and the rest, the 80% or so that remains, is regular chulin, now it's kosher, you can all eat it. Now that's the basic story. However, the full din of yaptin, the full din of tevel only kicks in once it's brought into the house. Kalsmai ran out in the field, we'll speak in general terms, kalsmai ran out in the field, we don't allow achilas keva, we do allow achilas aroi. So if you're hiking in Israel, and you walk by a carob tree, even if the carob tree is not hefker, assuming you're allowed to eat, you go into your own backyard, and there are grapes growing, there's a carob tree, there's a fig tree. So you're allowed to pick one or two and just eat them, without taking shrooms and mysos. It's achilas aroi, before you brought it into the house, totally fine. But if you bring it, once you bring it into the house, then already it's kavul ma'asros, or even if you didn't bring it into the house, but there are several different, I think, count seven different processes that, or phenomena that can make it kavula. Once it's Shabbos, eating it on Shabbos is automatically kavu. And if you picked a fig, you left it outside, then Shabbos came, now you're not allowed to eat it. If you salted it, a host of different
season
and bishul. If you mevashel it, that's kovei lamasa. So you went outside and you took a handful of fruits, but you cooked them outside. You're working out in the field, so you're not going home for lunch. You picked some stuff. You don't want to eat it raw. So you had a little pocket rocket, you made a little fire, whatever it was, and you made yourself, you grilled some vegetables. You grilled some vegetables. You just picked the carrots when you grilled it. Yeah, once you grilled it, now you got to take a journal of some ice before you can eat it.
You have to use the sun. What if you use the sun?
That's an interesting question that I'm not sure about. I will tell you, though, but now you're thinking about to what extent do we carry over the Gidrei Bishul of Shabbos to Masros. That's a very interesting question, I'm not sure. What I do know is that the Mishnah Masros, Paragraph Mishnah Zayin, differentiates between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. The Mishnah says, you put into Kli Rishon, Kavul and Masa. But you put into Kli Rishon here, that he quotes, I don't have the Gretal here. The Mishnah says if you're planning to eat a little bit of roi without taking Shuras Maisis, don't put it into a hatat, but you could put it into a chamita or a tamchui. Now, tamchui sounds very familiar. That's the language the Mishnah used on the base for Kli Sheni in the Shabbos context. What's a chamita? What is a chamita? Ches men yud say. The Tal points out that Machlokas Rash and Rambam, the two major mefarshim on Mishnah, is Zerah and Taras. The Rash is one of the great Balei Tosfos, Rash Mishnah, and the Rambam, they debate what a chamita is. The Rambam says it's another type of kli, like a tamchoi, and like our Mishnah and Shabbos said. You can put a kara or a tamchoi. So there, the Mishnah is a chamita or a tamchoi. Okay. But the Rash says it's some sort of cake, or some sort of baked good, some sort of food item, a solid food item, and it's still hot. You could see, you can't stick your the carrot you just picked into the hot pot, but you can stick it into the hot Danish. Or maybe the blueberries you just picked. You just picked some blueberries, you better not put it into the pot, the hot cremation, but you can put it into the hot Danish. Like the Tal says, wow, that's tabagosh. So again, he has another direction when she goes, but it sounds as though they are, I think Tal more or less says this, it sounds as though you have a machlokas Rash and Rambam, perhaps, about tabagosh. Unless you have a way out of the Rash sounds like he's saying that Davar Gush is not Mevashal. Because the Chamita, Rash thought is the this hot food, it's considered to be a Kli Sheni. The Rambam doesn't take a stand on it. It's hard to know what the Rambam holds, but you can't say the Rambam necessarily is Machmur Davar Gush, but certainly the Rash sounds, offhand, sounds like he would be Mekel.
When we say Davar Gush is Mevashal, that means Davar Gush is Mevashal in a Kli Sheni?
If I have a hot piece of meat, so I put it onto my plate, I transfer it from the pan that was the creation of the plate. So if it's still yatz lettuce bone, so then there are those who machmir that it's revashal. Right, correct. Because you have the phallus makaros.
The meat itself.
So it's a din in the temperature then. We see clearly it's arrived from hot food, it's a din in the temperature, not the din the walls cooling down or the rate of it cooling down.
I'm not sure, because the way it's presented is that, look, it's never defines makaros when you have something that takes the shape of the walls. But you have a hunk of meat, it's not falling over itself onto the plate. One little side of it is touching the plate. But the rest of it is standing cold.
What's the consequence of that? That it will not rapidly cool down enough.
Right.
That's the consequence?
That's the assumption.
Is that really the contrast? I thought it's hot walls versus cold walls. Cold walls, not no walls versus cold walls.
What you're saying is it sounds a little bit like eerie.
It's insulating it, though, when you leave it in the original.
Right. You're saying it sounds a little like eerie. It's true that the Tal makes that argument. The Tal reads that into the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham Shin Yuches here, with Sifkat Mem Hei, it says, I had this line, so later, it's a later Sif Sifjud Aleph. He has a line about, says, the Tal reads that as sort of, it's like Eru. Davar Gush is like Eru. Because it never was, It doesn't have the defanos mechamimos of the kli rishon, but it also doesn't have the defanos makaros, at least not as much, of the kli sheni. A major issue is the matzekas. The other, the probably the most significant issue to how you define kli rishon kli sheni, and this is also an issue that gets discussed in Yeridaya, in Hilchos Bas Bechala, but the Taz raises it here in Hilchos Shabbos as well in Ar Siman. Shinyin Ches, instead of Kat Yates, he says he thinks he should be Machmir. What do you do if you're... What do you do with the stuff in the ladle? I have soup in a ladle. Is the ladle a Kli Rishon, ladle a Kli Sheni? Now, who's sticking things into a ladle?
That's so you put it back in the pot?
Well, you could probably put it back in the pot if it's which is called Tzarko because it hasn't cooled off yet. But let's go take the same thing but the other direction. Let's take it the other direction. In other words, if I pour from a ladle, I pour from a ladle, is that iro e kli rishon? That's a problem. But should I not have the food in the bowl? And I should pour the soup in, it doesn't become kli sheni until it hits the bowl? Or no, bowl is a kli shlishi. The ladle is a kli sheni.
Well, doesn't depend on not
those
who are saying before,
because
it's still piping hot when
you
take it out of the...
Oh, you're right, correct, right. The Ravya would probably say for sure it's a Kli Rishon. We don't pass like Ravya. Here it's a Kula, right? These are both, we're a Kula of not part. The Ravya himself is saying a Kula. We're Machmer against Ravya, that even if it's been off the Kli Rishon, oh, right? But we're also a Kula against Ravya, right? We're Makel that you
will have a
Kli
Rishon.
Right, right.
Are we Machmer if the soup is around the fire? If you take a ladle, you can't put it back in the soup.
Let's get back to the moment. So in terms of the ladle, let this is developed. Come. The question is, look, the ladle is not the pot. Often you say, Louis Maril says, look, that's not a Kli Rishon. The ladle is not the pot. It's not what you heated it in. But the argument of the Taz and others, the Machmir, is that a Kli Sheni means that you poured, let's say, into the bowl. So the bowl wasn't hot, the bowl is cold. Well, what happens is the soup hit the bowl. But here, if you're submerging the bowl, scooping with the ladle into the pot, so the ladle itself got submerged in a Kli Rishon. So the ladle is going to be pretty hot.
What if it's like an indifferent material? Like what if it's like plastic or something which doesn't get really hot or cold? It just is kind of... it takes up... Like a metal ladle, for sure gets hot. Like, they even insulate the soup that you're, carrying. Plus, does it get hot?
I'm not sure. It's a little bit akin, I think Jenner and Mako, from Shabbos talks about this, that a thermos is considered to be a Kli Sheni, not a Kli Rishon. If you pour something hot into a thermos, even though we should say it's not the finest makaros, it's made
to... You're supposed to heat up the walls first also.
Right, that's true. So maybe a little bit the finest makaros, not as much. So Lamasa, I think that the ladle, I think, is generally accepted that we are Machmir. And now let's end with the biggest
machmir,
issue.
Ladle?
Ladle, I think you are Machmir. Yeah, so what you were saying about the ladle is if you leave a ladle to cool, that's a separate issue. If you leave a ladle to cool, if you leave a ladle out for, you use it and you left it on the side for a while, if the ladle is dirty, it has drops from the last scoop, but now they've cooled down Lagamre. If the cool down Lagamre, so we say Yesh Bishach HaBishal B'Davar Lach. Rather, Amos HaOif is totally cooled down. If it's still warm.
So you leave the ladle in the soup.
You leave the soup, refine. Right. Or just put it back in every minute or two, you're fine.
So what do we do with soup at the end of the day?
We assume the soup in the bowl is a Kli Sheni. We don't treat
the ladle.
Because we see the ladle as being sort of like a Kli Rishon.
Right.
Pour into the bowl with a Kli Sheni. Let me just close with the biggest bombshell.
Would that be an Eroy problem if you pour from the ladle into the bowl? What? Would that be an Eroy problem then if you pour it into the bowl?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You pour it into the bowl.
No, if you take the pot and you tilt it into the bowl.
No, but if the ladle is a Kli Rishon, then when you pour the Kli Rishon
into the bowl, that's considered to be Eroy Kli Rishon. So we wouldn't want to have tavlin in the bowl and pour from the ladle. Right. Now the final issue is how relevant was this chabura whatsoever? You say, what do you mean? But the answer really goes back to the beginning, where we got started in Daf Lametes. because that Tosis pointed out, one second, how do you read that Mishnah on Kuf Memhei? The Mishnah Kuf Memhei said what? The Mishnah Kuf Memhei said that if you have the food that wasn't yet cooked, so you're not allowed to soak it in the hot water, but you could pour onto it. So Tosis is one second. Unless, if you're like the Rashbam, then Irui Klevishin is fine, is garnished like Klevishin. Okay, so now I'll put it into the Klevishin. You can pour from the Klevishin onto it. But if you hold like the Ri, or for that matter, like the Rashbam, the Rebbe Nebarach, then Irui does, it either like Klevishin, at least does a little bit of Nishal, but you need a lot of pour. Medichin. Ain't shown off of Medichin. What does that Mishnah mean? Because Rashbam and Mishnah is Gavalik. Shore to put it into the hot water, that would be a problem. But anything less than that is fine. But if we hold that Iru does at least something, what's the problem in the Mishnah? The Tosis says something very surprising. Those are two teretz. The second teretz is has to do with specifics of the detailed case of Kulis HaSpanim, irrelevant. But the first teretz of Tosis was, ooh, apparently we must be talking about Klisheni. We're saying you're allowed to pour onto the food from a Klisheni, but you can't put the food into the Klisheni. Where did that come from? Tosis says, "Midrabanan mechlikim mevashim," and that's 2 days in the Tosis. 2 days in the Tosis, whether even though we've been saying cliche is not really mevashel, we're talking all the way through, but maybe it's mevashel midrabanan, or it looks like it's bishel. Maybe midrabanan is hasa. Wow. Now you're gonna tell me, wow, so we just got rid of the whole kula of cliche mevashel. Could that be? Why are we talking about this? And furthermore, that's a good idea. If you don't have to go all the way up with next students. Furthermore, there's another problem, which is Tosis very raises, which is how could you say that it's us to put things in a klisheni? Wasn't that we started with a mission that for these? And you say, now I put the tavlin into the pot, but you can put them into the bowl, the teirish. Very nice. You want to tell the Mishnah Kufim Hey says the klisheni is the problem, Messi. What about the answer is that Tosis depends what type of thing you're talking about. Tavlin! Tavlin is mutter because it's also a matekas hakadera. That's not an item that you cook. That's just something you use to season everything else. So what emerged in Lachal Maisa and many postings are machmer for this day in Tosis because the Magen Avraham jumps on that bandwagon. Magen Avraham thinks that we should be concerned with that. So halacha lemaisa, most foods end up getting pushed to a kli shlishi. Certain things don't. We do not apply mechzikim avashel by tavlin, by things that aren't really the main food item, and we do not apply Mexican vashel by liquids, even by a container of liquid. That's what the Prima Gun explains why the Shulchan Aruch told us, you're allowed to pour, you're allowed to put a container of liquid into a klisheni. But Prima Gun says, why is that such a chiddush? Oh, because there's no Mexican vashel. But if you talk about a typical food item, I remember that's what Magen Avraham points out, we're even machmir, if you have bread, it's already baked. Lezmimit said, Yish Mishal Akharafiya, so then Ramah had a discussion, can you put it into a Kli Sheni? Where would the machmir have to put it into a Kli Sheni? Why? Because there you are willing to apply the principle of the Mechzikin Vashal. There's a whole side point which we will not discuss, Shiboy HaLeket, it's quoted by the Beis Yosef. He gets involved in the world of Tarubis. There are a lot of fascinating things going on there, but it's not really a official issue per se. But again, we saw Klevishin versus Klisheni in the Lamdas, and how Melach fits into that, and how Irui fits into that. And then we saw, practically speaking, in Machlokas, we draw the line between the Klevishin and Klisheni, both in terms of Davar Gush and in terms of the ladle. And then finally, the Jinch Klevishin and Klisheni, certainly in a Torah, Midrabana may be limited to only certain types of food, like tavlin and liquid. Halacha l'maisa, you can put liquids into klisheni. Otherwise, you can put tavlin, but solid foods in general we would avoid putting into klisheni, unless, of course, it's fully cooked, in which case you can put into klisheni also. Shkoyach chevra. Have a good Shabbos. I'm glad to stick around for questions.